The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. We should assume that the greatest level that was given to mankind, the greatest attribute, is his das, his intelligence, chokhma bina v'das. Excuse me. Rashi brings in the beginning of the Chumash, Parshas Bereishis, Beis, Pasuk Zayin. Yitzar Hashem Elokim Eso Odom Ofer Min Ha'adoma Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim. Hashem created man from the dust of the earth. He blew into his nostrils a living soul. Vayi Odom L'Nefesh Chayo. And a person became what is known as a Nefesh Chayo, a human being. Rashi says, the Nefesh Chayo, what does it mean he became a human being? Af behema v'chaya nikru Nefesh Chayo. Animals and wildlife, they are also human. Ach zu shel odom chaya shebekulon. But the life which Hashem breathed into the man, that's a different dimension of life. Shenitesev bo deo v'dibor. Because to him he gave a dimension of life which has intelligence and speech. We see that what distinguishes mankind, from all other type of living beings, deo v'dibor, the intelligence which was given to him, and his capabilities to speak. Through this, we are able to understand and fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem. We are able to understand His Torah. We are able to be misaneg, as the Rishonim classify, misaneg b'secho ha'elyon, to take joy from the intelligence of the Almighty. Because this intelligence is part of He Himself. And this is why we can understand His Torah, which is His intelligence. And through this, we are mizdabik. We come to cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Without the chokhma bina v'das, the intelligence and the seichel of the person, not only Torah we won't understand, we won't even understand the derech eretz, the ways of the world. And we would be living amidst, instead of light, darkness. And this is why the first bracha of the Tachnunim, where we beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day to give us what we need, is in the Shemein Esrei, Atoch Nein Ladom Das. You have blessed us and granted us, crowned us with intelligence. Umelameid Le'en Mashbino. You teach people how to understand. This is the first bracha. When we asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of our needs. Because if we have this, then we can go to other things. If we don't, we cannot. And the Havdolah, the Atoch Hanantonu, what we say on Meitzei Shabbos, Saturday night in the Shemein Esrei, where there we declare HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank Him for distinguishing between the days of the week and Shabbos. That's in that bracha. And the Gemara says, why is it in that bracha? Because imein das habdolah minayin. If a person doesn't have das, if he doesn't have intelligence, he wouldn't be able to tell the difference between one day and the other. And when we have what is known as the Esser Spheres, the 10 spheres, the highest is what is known as the Kesher, the crown. That's the Chochmah Bina V'Das, the wisdom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given man. And therefore, we find in many places in the Torah that the Torah cautions us against a person losing that das, damaging it or not using it. Certainly he has to use what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. It states, Mishein Beidas Osel Rachim Olov. A person who has no seichel, you shouldn't have compassion on him. That means that if he's not going to use his seichel to take care of himself, it's not a question that he becomes a public burden then. He has seichel to take care of. If he cannot take care of himself, that's another story. But even other things, for example, states that people come to Aveira only when they don't, when they cause themselves to lose their intelligence. And the Rebbe Kiva said in Masech Tovish, Per Gimel Mishnah Yud Zayin, Schaik Vekalis Reish, Magilin Es Odom Le'erva. When a person becomes too lightheaded and full of folly and frivolous, which is the contrast to what intelligence is, this brings a person to immorality. And Ashes Revi Salyera. The halacha is that the dayonim, the judges, and the courts, if they drank a certain amount of wine or some other alcoholic beverage, they're no longer allowed to judge a case because this removes the intelligence from the person for a period of time, and this will corrupt and distort a person's vision, his intelligent vision. And if someone enters into the Beis Hamikdash, a kohen, and he's drunk from wine, so there's a very, very great penalty for it. If this is the case, then we can ask a question. We all are aware that yain, wine, is samach levav enosh, brings simcha to the person, makes the heart joyful. And therefore, at a celebration, we drink wine. But on Purim, we find a strange halacha. The Gemara brings in Megillah Dav Zayin, Chayev Inish Limsumi Bepuria Adelayoda Bein Oro Homan Boruch Modchai. That on Purim, a person is obligated, if he's able to drink so much to the point where his intelligence becomes distorted, where he doesn't know anymore the difference between that of cursing Haman and blessing Mordechai. And there's a world of difference between the two. And this is what the Gemara brings. Now, how does this find a place in the height of a human being, and especially a mitzvah and Purim? We could ask another question also on Purim. The Megillas Esther tells us, and this is in Esther Tess, Pasuk Chof Zayin, it states, Kimu v'kiblu ha-yudim aleihem v'al zarom v'al kol anilvim aleihem v'lo ya'avor. The Yehudim accepted upon themselves, it states, Kimu v'kiblu, they confirmed and they accepted upon themselves and upon all of their seed and upon all of those who would later join them. V'lo yavor, without exception, li'isosim mishnei hayomim ha'ela, to keep these 2 days. These were the 2 days that Mordechai and Esther, together with the great court of Sanhedrin, ordained. Li'isosim, to keep eshnei hayomim ha'ela, kichsavon v'chizmanon, in accordance to what was written, in accordance to the proper times. B'chol shona v'shona, every year. What is the Megillah telling us? That after the great miracle of Purim, Esther and Mordechai went to the great court, and they asked that these 2 days become days of Yom Tovim for Klal Yisrael forever, and which the court agreed, the Sanhedrin agreed. So these 2 days forever, the 14th of Adar and the 15th of Adar, what is we know as Purim and Shushan Purim. The cities in Shushan and other walled cities would keep the 15th of Adar, and the other cities would keep the 14th of Adar. So Kimu v'Kiblu, they confirmed and they accepted upon themselves and upon all of their seed and all of those who would later join Klal Yisrael. This means all of the Gerim, all of the converts, to keep these 2 days in accordance to what was written and in their proper times and every year. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Gemara brings on that, what does it mean? The Gemara in Omar Rabbi Kiva, Perek Omar Rabbi Kiva, Daf Pei Ches Amar Aleph. The Gemara has a kasha. What does it mean, Kimu v'Kiblu? They confirmed and they accepted. It's a double, it's a duplication. It's a double language. They accepted. So the Gemara darshans, Kimu ma shekiblu kfar b'Sinai. They confirmed what was already accepted at Sinai. It's not only referring to these 2 days, but Kimu v'Kiblu. Here they confirmed the entire Torah, which was given to them at Har Sinai. Kimu ma shekiblu kfar b'Har Sinai. That they accepted upon themselves to keep these 2 days and the entire Torah, which was given to them at Har Sinai. And we have near the end of the Megillah, it states, La'ihudim ha'isa ora v'simcha, v'sosan v'kor, to the Jews there was light. The Gemara darshans, what was the light on Purim? Zu Torah. A light of Torah came down. Why? So the Maral in his Hagdoma to his Sefer writes, this was the light. Because here they had reconfirmed all of the Torah which they received at Sinai. So this brought a new light of Torah to Klal Yisrael and Purim. Now the Gemara goes through a whole discussion as to why was it necessary that they reconfirm and reaccept what they had already received at Sinai many centuries before. When Israel went out of Egypt, they went out of Sinai, and there was the Mountain Torah, the giving of the Torah, the Kabbalah Satorah, the receiving of the Torah. And there's a whole discussion in the Rishainim, Tosfos, the Achrenim, all of the commentaries as to what did they accept and why was it necessary. But nevertheless, everybody agrees that something, it was necessary, and they reconfirmed the Torah which was given, and to this came a new dimension of Torah that was lacking before. Now the question is, what was lacking before? And what did they make up with it now? So we have these two questions. Again, the two questions are is that we brought from many, many sources that the highest attribute of the human being is his Deo Vedibo, which distinguishes him from all other types of life, that he was given intelligence, Chochma, the Bina of Adas. So the question is, why is it on Purim that we find that it's a mitzvah to drink so much that he loses his das? No longer does he know the difference between Bor Haman and Bor Mordechai. Secondly, we see that on Purim, not only did they accept everything which Esther and Mordechai commanded the people to accept, but they even reconfirmed and reaccepted the entire Torah being given at Sinai, which was given there. The question is, why was this necessary? What was lacking the first time? And what was added this time? And in the Megillah, this is referred to as an Ora, La'ihudim ha'isa Ora, the Ora Zu Torah. This is why a new light of Torah came to Klal Yisrael during Purim. The Odom Asholim, we call Odom, the most perfect man that ever lived, was our forefather Yaakov Avinu, father of the Shiftei Kor, of the 12 Shvatim, the 12 tribes, which became the foundation of Beis Yisrael, the house of Israel. And he was the Shlemus of Avraham and Yitzchak, the perfection of Avraham and Yitzchak. And therefore he is referred to as Yaakov Shlimto, Yaakov, the perfect man. He's also referred to as the Teferis, the ultimate beauty of the human being. And Surase Dovuk al Kisei HaKovet states, the Chazal tell us, that on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, he is surrounded by four images. One is the lion, that's the king of all the wildlife. And the other is the bull, that's the king of the domestic animals. The other is the eagle, the king of all the birds, the fowl. And the fourth is man, who is the king of everything which Hashem created in this lower world. And the tzura, the image of the man, is the image of Yaakov. Now, by Yaakov, the Torah tells us that he had two attributes. It states in Parshas Toldos, as he was a young man, Yaakov ish tam yosheva holim. Yaakov was a man of tamimus. Tamimus is someone who is upright and has ultimate trust. Yosheva Olim, and he dwelled in the tents. The sages explain, what does it mean that he dwelled in tents? These were the tents of Shem Ve'Ever. He would spend his time in the tents of the Shem, the son of Neach, and Ever, who was the grandson of Shem. They had yeshivas, and he would go and learn Torah by them. And later the Torah explains that he went for 14 years when he left his father's house, and he was going to the house of Lovan. Nitman, the base Aver Yudalet Shonim. He concealed himself in the house, in the base of Medrash, of Aver for 14 years, day and night, studying Torah, laboring in Torah. Now, this level of Yosheva Olim, this we can understand. This is the Madregas Hadas, to come Lodas Es Hashem, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All his life he pursued Torah with his gigantic qualities, And then for 14 years at one time, he learned non-stop. He came to the highest heights of knowledge in Hashem possible. And it's impossible for a person to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without us, without knowing Him. The Torah is not like the other religions, false religions, the idolatrous religions. You could be a priest, you could be a monk, you could be what you wanted. You didn't have to know anything. They say the main thing is you have good intentions. Not so with the Torah. Torah tells us just the contrary. Shlomo HaMelech said, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. The deepest and the greatest of all wisdoms is the fear of Hashem. Fear of Hashem is nothing, is not something that a person conquers through birth, but only through a lifetime of labor to try to study the ways of Hashem. And then our sages commanded, Ein bo yirei chet v'lei amoritz chosid, that the barren cannot fear sin, and the ignorant cannot be righteous or pious. And the Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Tshuva the following. Tov yodua uboror. Here he's writing about the level of the tufir Hashem and the avas Hashem, the love of Hashem. And he writes, we are after Es Hashem Elokecho, you shall love Hashem. That's one mitzvah, and there's another mitzvah, Es Hashem Elokecho tiro, you shall fear Hashem. And he writes, the greatest level a man can come to is avas Hashem, the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dov yodua boru shein avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikshares b'libi shel odom ad sheyishke bo tamid keroi v'yazev kol ma shebeilam chutz mimenu k'meishet siva v'omar b'chol levavecha v'chol nafshecha. He says a person will only come to the level of avas Hashem when he's prepared to forsake all other great loves, and his love is only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As it states, you shall love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart and all of your soul, all of your life. But how? Ein ha'ayev HaKadosh Baruch Hu el bedas shiyodeihu. A person will only be able to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu in accordance to the knowledge which he knows him by. Valpi hadeo tiyao ava. In accordance to the greatness of the knowledge he has in Hashem, that will be in ratio the amount, the quantity and quality of love that he has for him. He says, not like the nations of the world will say, Avo, why not? You love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No. He says, Al pi hadeo tiya Avo. In accordance to how much you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how much your love will be for him. Im mi'at, mi'at. If someone knows a little of Hashem, his love will be a little of him. Even though he has good intentions. Im harbe, harbe. If someone knows a great deal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then his love will be great for him. Lefichok tzorech ha'odem le'yached atzmai lo'hovin u'lahaskil b'chochmas u'svunais amaydiyam la'yeskeinei kvi keach sh'yesh ba'odem lo'hovin u'lahasig. And therefore a person has to set aside time to study about Hashem, and to study those things which bring the knowledge of Hashem to us in accordance to his strength, in accordance to his ability, in accordance to his intelligence. like I have explained in other places, the Rambam says. And this is why we are so preoccupied with the study of Torah. Because the best way to come to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to study His mitzvahs, which is His ratzah and His will, His intelligence. And this is why our sages said, Keset Torah Godel Bikulan. The crown of Torah. He who has the crown of Torah. That means the knowledge of his Torah. That's the greatest crown, far greater than Keser Malchus, and even that of the king of Israel. And far greater than that of Kuhuna, of priesthood, of the Kohen Gadol, of the high priest, unless he also has the Keser Torah. And that brings a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ula'ilam ha-Talmud kodem. And therefore, always you must give precedence to the study of Torah. U'keneged kulam. And the mitzvah of Talmud Torah outweighs all of the other mitzvahs together. This is an avodah miteich das. To serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through one's intelligence. So if it states that Yaakov Avinu was Yeshiva Olim, he dwelled in the tents of Torah, that's no question. It had to be that way. Especially he's coming to the throne of Hashem, to the ultimate of perfection. But the other statement is difficult to understand. It states, Ishtam. Ishtam Yosheva Olim. What does it mean, Ishtam? Tam. We have a mitzvah of Tamimus. In Parshas Shoftim, the Torah tells us, this is in Perek Yudches, in Devarim, Perek Yudches, Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Torah is telling us here, Ki atobo el ha'oretz asher Hashem elakecha meisin loch. When you come to the land which I am giving you, and it was filled with the nations of the seven nations of Canaan, and they were very, very abominable nations, they silman laaseis kiso aveis hagoyim ahem. Do not learn from their abominations. What were some of their abominations? They were idolaters. They were sorcerers. They occupied themselves in witchcraft, in superstitions, in charms, in all of these things, astrology and so forth. So the Torah says, no. And they would communicate with the dead, and they would do all types of supernatural things and so forth. So the Torah says, no, these are abominations, and you must not get involved in them. Ki so avas Hashem kol eisa ila. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates all of this. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is driving these nations out of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael cannot tolerate this because Eretz Yisrael is a land of Kedusha, of His sanctity, of His of elevation. And He's giving the land to us. Tomim tiyah im Hashem elakecho. Therefore, I command you to be tomim tiyah im Hashem elakecho. You should be tomim. Trust in Hashem. Now here we have a mitzvah of Tomim. Tamimus. But what does it mean? What does it mean? Tomim tiyah Hashem alakecha. This we know. But what is it telling us? So Rashi explains. Rashi says, Yisalech imoy bitmimus v'tetzapelei v'leisachkor achar ha'asidus el kol ma shiyovei alecho kabel bitmimus v'ostia imoy ulechelkoi. Walk with him with faith. Total faith. Blind faith. Trust in him. Tmimus means total trust. When does a person need to trust in someone? In other words, when if I'm not so sure, you come to a doctor, and the doctor tells you what he wants to do. You tell him, I'm not so sure if what you're doing is the right thing. The doctor says, trust in me. In other words, even though you don't know, but place your trust in me. Sakorish Borhu says, you know I'm doing the right thing, fine, then you don't need me. You don't know. Then, Yisalech imoy bitmimus. Walk with him in total faith and trust. V'tetzap elei. And look to him. Don't look to other places. V'leisach kor achar asidus. Don't go to the goyim. Don't go to the fortune tellers and ask them what will be. Don't go to the sorcerers and ask them what will be. Don't go to the astrologers and ask them what will be. Don't go to the charm makers. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you don't need that. That's good for people that don't trust in me. But you're my nation. You must trust in me. I'm telling you what to do. I told you clearly what to do. You have my Sefer HaMitzvos. Do it. It doesn't look so good to you. Trust me. Don't go other places. And whatever, don't be, Shlema Melech said, that when he built the Beis HaMikdosh, he made a tefillah. And he said that to Israel, to the Jews, you must give to everyone in accordance to his merit. To the non-Jews, because the Beis HaMikdosh was built for the non-Jews also. So Beis L'chol Amim was built for everyone. They also have a right to bring sacrifices there. So he says, when the non-Jew comes to my Beis HaMikdosh, don't give them accordance to their merit. Give them whatever they ask for. So Chazal asks, well, what's going on? Why is he discriminating against the Jew? He says, the Jew, you judge them. If they deserve what they ask for, give it. Give them. If not, don't give them. The non-Jew, whatever they ask for, give them. This was Shlema Melech, King Solomon's tefillah, when he built the Beis HaMikdosh. What was the reason? Because he said like this, the non-Jew doesn't have much trust in you. If you'll come to the Beis HaMikdosh all the way to Yerushalayim, and he'll come to what he heard is Hashem's house, and he'll ask for something and he won't get it, he'll say, it's a hoax, it's nothing, I'm not coming again, finished. And we want him to keep coming. He'll go away from you. So therefore, whatever they ask for, you must give him. The Jew's a different story. The Jew puts his total trust in you. If he asks for something and he gets it, he's happy. If he doesn't get it, he's not going to say that you're not here. He's going to say, I probably don't deserve it. So the Jew you can give according to merit. But the non-Jew you must give whatever he asks. So this is what Rashi says. Kol ma shiyova alecha. Even if you do what I say to do, and then it seems that bad fortune is coming upon you, don't say, you see, it didn't work. Whatever comes on you, kabel mitmimos, accept with full trust. Kodesh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. Ve'oz tia ima yulachelkai. Then you will be tomim tia ima Hashem alakecha. Then you'll be one with Hashem. You want to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is the way. Tom im tiem Hashem alakecha. Don't try to be too smart. Or you throw the dice. Or you go to the sorcerers. No. You just do what I tell you. And place all of your trust in me. And even if to you it seems like you did what I told you and it didn't work, still place your trust in me. Then you'll be Tomim Tia Ima Hashem Elokecha. Then you'll be my nation. This is the mitzvah of Tamimus. Now, it states, Yaakov Ishtam. Yaakov placed all his trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there was no one that had so much tzoras as Yaakov Avinu. When we say trust, that doesn't mean when there's good fortune. That's like those, they say that when you're good to them, they're your friends. But otherwise they're not. Good weather friends. When we say trust, that means through thick and thin. Always. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded from the Jew. And there was no one that had so much sorrow as Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, Vayeshev Yaakov. He says, when will I have time to rest a bit? He says, Minu Uraisai. From my youth, I never had a moment's peace. He says, I had sorrow from my brother Esav. I had tzoras from Dinah. I have tzoras from Lavan. I had tzoras when Rachel died. I had tzoras from Yosef. And now Binyamin and Shimon. He says, when will I rest already? Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you want this world also? You know what's waiting for you in the next world? Don't complain. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him. You see? Carry on. So therefore, this is what is written. Yaakov Ishtam. Now, so we see two attributes in this man of perfection. And they seem to be contradictory. One was Yosheva Olim. He came to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Rambam writes, and he came to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his enormous das, through his understanding of the entire Torah and all of Hashem's ways and all Hashem's secrets. And another attribute that states it was Ishtam, blind faith, whether he understood or not. The first was a coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the knowledge of him, through Das Ubino, and the second is coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the absence of Das Ubino. These are the two attributes that we see in Yaakov Avinu. And they seem to be in total contradiction of each other. The answer is they're not in contradiction. Trust cannot be conditional on the intelligence. But the intelligence can and must be conditional on the trust. That means that if a person says, I trust in you totally, as long as I can understand and I see you doing the right thing, he's limiting his trust. It's not a total trust. He's limited in and confining it. However, if the other person says that I trust in you totally, whether I understand you or I don't understand you, I trust in you. Except I still will labor to understand you. But whether I understand you or not, my trust is not conditional on my intelligence. There's a great difference between the two. Because when someone says that I will trust you as long as I see you doing the right thing, so he's not trusting the other person, he's trusting himself. He's trusting himself and he's binding himself to his own intelligence. If I see it's the right thing, then he says, I will trust you. That's the wrong English. If I see it's the right thing, then I'll trust my own intelligence to go along. If I see you doing the wrong thing, it's not that I don't trust you anymore. I'm relying on my intelligence, and I will not go along. But if a person will come and say, I trust you totally, whether I understand what you're doing or not, and you carry on, I will try to understand what you're doing, and I will labor, but that is not a condition in my trust. Now this was the level that Klal Yisrael came to at the giving of the Torah. The Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos and Apeches. The Gemara says, the Gemara first tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to all of the nations of the world to offer him his Torah. Because Torah wasn't made only for the Jews, it was made for the whole world. But they refused to accept it. Why? Because each nation asked, well, tell us what's in your Torah. Yishmael asked, what's in your Torah? Hashem said, well, you should not commit acts of immorality. You should not steal. Yishmael said, we can't accept such a Torah. Went to Esav, what's written in your Torah? Hashem said, you shall not kill. He says, we live by the sword. Yishmael was living through Geneva, through theft, and Esau was living by the sword. You can't accept such a Torah. When he came to Klal Yisrael in Parshas Mishpatim is written, they said, Naaseh v'nishma. They never asked Hashem what's in the Torah. They said, whatever you give us, we will do. And we will try to understand. In other words, they did not say, we will try, we will understand, and we will do. They said, we will do, and we will try to understand. And the Chazal tell us that the great attribute of Klal Yisrael was Higdimu Naaseh L'Nishma. That instead of saying, let us understand first what we're doing, and then we will do it, they said, we will do it. And we will labor to understand what we're doing. The Gemara brings here, in Peches, Omer Blezer. This is in Peches, the end of Omer Aleph. Blezer says, Bishor Shekdimi Yisrael Naaseh L'Nishma. When Hashem came to give them the Torah, and they first said, we will do. And then they said, we will labor to understand. Yotzesa baskol biomra lehen mi gilon lebonai rozeh. A voice from heaven came down and said, who revealed this secret to my children? Shemalachi ashorish mishtam shinbrei. The malachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu have this secret. Diksiv, as it states in Tehillim. In Tehillim, Kuf Gimel. Baruch Hu Hashem Malochov Gibeire Keach. Osei, the angels bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the angels are those who are so strong. Osei Devorei, Lishmaya Bekol Devorei. They fulfill his words, and they listen to understand his words. First it states they fulfill his words, And then it states they try to understand his words. Omer b'chama b'omer b'chama b'bchaninu ma'u d'ksiv ketapuach ba'atzei hayo'ar. In Shir Hashirim states a pasuk like a tapuach. Tapuach, we say, is an apple, but Tosfos says here it's not an apple. He thinks it might be an esrog. There's a certain fruit that grows in the forests. Yisrael is compared to this fruit. Loma nimshli Yisrael tapuach le'maloch. Why? Tapuach zeh piryei kedem le'olov. This fruit is different than all others. All others, first their leaves and their blossoms come out, and then their fruit. Here the fruit comes out first, and only the leaves and blossoms come out afterwards. Af Yisrael, by everyone else, they want to know what they're getting involved in, and then they'll answer you if they will or not. By Yisrael, nase higdimu nase lenishma. First they said, yes, we will accept. Then we will try to understand. Rashi brings that angels are mochonin lases kedem shishimu. The angels are prepared to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says immediately, even if they don't understand. But like a derek shara bodim, not like other servants. Shishemim tchila sadova le'edim yochein lakabl na'aleim im lav. First they see if it's something they can shoulder, and then they'll answer if they'll do it or not. Now the Gemara brings a story. Ahu tzeduki. There was a tzeduki. The tzedukim were a branch that broke away from Israel. And they started to make their own mitzvahs and their own laws. And actually on many, many things they were more machmir, the Gemara brings. They were more stringent than our Torah. So there was this individual, the Chazi L'Rova, the Komayim B'Shmaitzo. He saw Rova one day. Rova was sitting in the Beis HaMedrash and he was learning Torah. V'yaspe atzbe osso. And he was sitting with his hand under his thigh and it was being pressed against the bench. Tusei Kara. Now Rava, when he learned, this was from the great sages of the Gemara, he became so entranced and so involved in his learning, of the labor of the learning, that he was pushing down on his leg and he was crushing his hand. But he didn't realize it. Mekomayitzbo, and his hand started to bleed. Mekomavenetzbo sodoma. And this Siddiqui is sitting and watching this. And he's waiting for Rava to do something. He doesn't do anything. So he says, Omalei, Ama Pezisha. He says, you're from the wild nation. Tikad Musa Pumaicha Ladunaicha. Where your mouths preceded your ears. Akati Bipachazusaicha Kamaisa Kiyamte. You still have this wildness in you. You should have first listened to see if you could have accepted it or not, and then answered. In other words, the Siddiqui was telling him that you people don't have any derech eretz. You don't have any, you're not, no menschlichkeit. He says, first you listen, and then you accept. You don't accept and then listen. He says, I see you're still the wild nation. On that, Sirashi says, he says, Kedem Sheshamatim, I say, here, he koshim tuchal lamay by kibaltim aleichem pekaima. He says, you should have seen what you were in for. You don't just accept a carte blanche. So Rava answered him. He said, he answered him with a posik in Mishle. There's a posik in Mishle that states, the posik is in Mishle Yud Aleph, Tumas Yishorim Tanchem, and Vishalev Begdim Yishodem. Tumas Yishorim, Tumas is from the word Tam, Tumimus. The upright will walk in full trust, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead them in the proper way. But the Bogdim, those who rebel against Hashem, they do not trust Him. The untrusting ones, that their ways are corrupt and crooked, Yishadeim HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead them in a crooked way that will destroy them. So he answered as follows. He says, no, you're making the mistake, not us. He says, Anan disa ginon bishle musa, we that walk with a total trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we don't worry that he's going to give us something that we cannot carry. See, Rashi says, he salachnu imay bitum leiv kederecha isimei avo, like someone who's in love. People that are in love, they have a total trust with each other. And we trust him that he's not going to put something on our shoulders that we cannot fulfill. So then we are the Yeshorim. We are the Tumash Yeshorim, the upright ones that put full trust in him. Tanchem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead us in the right way. Hanoch Anshi. But you, he told the Tztuke. See, the Tztukim were the ones that constantly doubted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they had different second thoughts. And they didn't have full trust in them. And because of that, they went way off the way, way off the derech. But Hanoch Anshe Desagdin Balilusa, you people that walk without trust in him. Ksiv Buhu, and that King Solomon wrote, Visale Begdim Yishadeim, that those who do not trust him, and they walk in a crooked way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead them in a crooked way to their ultimate destruction. This was the great attribute of Klal Yisrael when they received the Torah. Now, so what do we see? We see that trust alone, that we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just give us the mitzvahs, and we won't do any thinking for ourselves. No, that's not sufficient. Because we said, Ein bur yirei chet v'le amar shosid, the ignorant cannot become righteous, the barren cannot fear Hashem. Reish is chochma yiras Hashem. The origin of all wisdom, Shlomo HaMelech said, the deepest of all wisdoms is the fear of Hashem. The Rambam says, how do you come to the highest level of dveikus b'Hashem, of cleaving to Hashem? He says, through knowing Him. In accordance to the person's de'or will be the person's cleaving and closeness to Hashem. And he who does not know Hashem will be far from Hashem. So to say, look, just tell me what you want me to do and I will not think for myself and I'll do it. Now, that's a robot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have plenty of robots. And then he didn't have to create a man that was, he filled them with Deo V'dibor, with wisdom, intelligence, and speech. On the other hand, to rely on our intelligence and our speech, to rely on the supremacy of the human being, and therefore we rely on ourselves and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we will say, tell us your mitzvahs. If they look right, im yishore hein be'einenu, if they look right in our eyes, then good, we'll do them. If they don't look right in our eyes, no, then we have to reject them. That's the bogdim. That's the kfira. These are the kofrim. This was the tzedukim. What looked right in our eyes, it states that what they liked, they did with greater zeal than afilu Yisrael. That's what the Gemara brings on them. Kol mitzvah shehichziku bayakusim, hichzikum bayyeshim Yisrael. What looked right to them, they did with greater zeal than klal Yisrael. But if something didn't look right, sorry. Can't accept it. It's contrary to our intelligence. Right, then you will grow no greater than the smallness of the human being. That's if you only use your intelligence. So you have to have total trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do you make these two attributes compatible with each other? Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Olim. He placed full trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is where Klal Yisrael got it from. You give us, give me your mitzvahs, give me your Torah. Whatever you tell me to do, I will do. And I will labor in it for 14 years, day and night, to come to the greatest level of the understanding of this Torah. And what I understand is good and I want more. What I don't understand, I know it's beyond me. But that has nothing to do with my fulfillment of it. These are the two attributes that the Jew needs. For this reason, our sages in their wisdom said that whenever we do a mitzvah, we have to make a brocha before. This mitzvah is Birchas HaMitzvah. And why? Why do we have to make a brocha before? We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the brocha for the mitzvah. But there's another reason. Because when we do a mitzvah, there are many reasons why we can do it. We can do a mitzvah because we like it. We can do a mitzvah because it's healthy for us. We can do a mitzvah because it brings us to the good life. That's not why we do a mitzvah, the sages said. Nope, sorry. That's not a mitzvah. Then you're doing things for yourself. And this is why they wrote, Asher kitshanu b'mitzvesa v'tzivonu. You do a mitzvah, the first reason why you do any mitzvah is because kach tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what Hashem has commanded. When a servant comes to fulfill, to heed the command of his master, the first motive is because the master, the king, has commanded it. And I am a servant. After that, if you want to see what the benefits are, that's a different story. But if the motive is the benefits, that's a mitzvah shalei lishma. That's a hallow mitzvah. And that's why in all the mitzvahs they said we must make a brocha asher kitchonu v'mitzvesem, that you have sanctified us with your mitzvahs and you have commanded us to take a lulav, to take an esrog, to put a mezuzah, to put on a talis, tefillin, and so forth. This is why also that commentators, sages always cautioned us, don't give reasons to the mitzvahs which we do not have sources for in the Torah itself. Because then they become your intelligence, not a Kodesh Baruch Hu's. Many people, they want to understand everything. The fact is, to try to understand everything already is a flaw. Because then you feel that you can understand everything. Could someone, I can understand someone might try, if there's a lake or a river, he tries to swim across it. Would someone, English Channel, attempt to swim across it? Does anyone ever attempt to swim across the Indian Ocean? No, because he realizes it's beyond him. A person would be a fool to say, I'm training to swim across the Indian Ocean. It's beyond the physical capabilities of a person. So this is the same foolishness. I'm trying to understand the reason of every mitzvah, or even the full reason of this mitzvah. The Torah is infinite. What we understand from it is like taking water from the ocean. How many degrees has the ocean dropped since you took out water from it? But therefore, certainly we have to be very careful not to give reasons, human intelligent reasons, to mitzvahs unless we have sources for it in the Torah. Another example. There are certain types of mitzvahs which the Chachomim classify as mitzvahs that we can readily understand their reasons. And not only that, but many we would have enacted ourselves, at least in the simple fashion, had the Torah not been given. You shouldn't be cruel to people. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't kill, and so forth. All right. Those mitzvahs, we must appreciate what they stand for, and they must become part of us. But there are certain mitzvahs that we do not know the reasons for. We must study and try to understand, but it's still they're very much beyond us. And they're known as the chukim. And on those reasons, the Torah says, the Chazal say, we're not allowed to fulfill those mitzvahs for reasons which we give. For example, when it comes to kashrus, says kashrus is a chok, is a statute which the Torah doesn't give reasons for. So we can't give our reasons for it and fulfill it in that manner. The arayas, why did the Torah forbade certain marriages and allowed other marriages? Shatnas klayim, the mixture of certain materials. Rashi brings from the Teres Kahanim at the end of Parshas Kedoshim. That's in Vayikra. Vayikra Chof. After the Torah goes through great length to say which animals we can eat from, which ones we cannot, which fish we can eat from, which fish we cannot, which birds we can eat from, which ones not, and so forth. So the Torah says, V'yisem li kedoshim ki kodesh ani Hashem. You shall be sanctified to me because I am sanctified. V'avdi leshem mino amim li yisli. And I have separated you from the nations to be for me. So Rashi brings Reb Lezer ben Azaya Eimer. The great Reb Lezer ben Azaya said, Minayin shela yemar odom nafshi kotso bipsar chazir I efshi lilbeish klaim. How do we know a person should not say that when he sees meat from a chazir, from a pig, he shouldn't say, I can't stand this. Or if there's a garment which is made out of interwoven woolen linen, he should not say, I can't stand to put this on. No, he shouldn't say that. Aval yemer efshi. He should say, I would love to eat it. I would love to eat fish which the Torah forbade. I would love to eat animals which the Torah forbade. What would be wrong with elephant meat? Elephant meat is being eaten. What would be wrong with bacon or delicacies or fish which are delicacies? Crabs. It's nothing. They're served in the best restaurants. They're served in Eila Shulchan Malochim. They're served in royal houses. A Jew must say, I want to eat it. But what can I do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that I cannot. My Father in Heaven said I cannot. So Reb Lezer ben Azaria says, that's the way of a Jew. How do we know? Because it states, there's a great depth. For Avdel Eskem Mino Amim Li Aisli. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that I am separating you from the nations that you should be for me. He says, Shiyetehei Ivdaltechem Mehem Lishmi. I'm separating you from the nations that you should be for me. So if you refrain from eating it because I told you, then you're being for me. If you're refraining from eating it because you've come to the point where you don't like it anymore, or you can't stand it anymore, or you've programmed yourself for that, then you're not separating yourself from me. You're separating yourself from the nations. You're doing different than the nations do because you want to. That's not for me. There's a difference. If you act different from the nations because in these mitzvahs, because that's how you choose to do, or that's how you like to do, then it's your religion. If you act different than the nations, because even though you want to not to act different, but because Asher Kitchona b'mitzvayse v'tzivonu, Avi Shebashamayim, my Father in heaven, decreed on me that I must not do this, or I must not eat this. He says, then, b'avdel eskem min amim liyosli, then you're doing it for me. And that's what I want. He says, perish min ha'aveira u'mekabel alav ol malchus shamayim. You must separate yourself from an aveira because of my mitzvahs, not because of your desires or lack of desires. And the Teres Kahanim and the Girsa adds further. It says the same thing with an erva. There's a certain woman. And she's very beautiful and attractive to this person. And he wants her. Except the Torah forbade her to him. For whatever reason. It says he must say that I do want her. But what can I do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. He says, then you're doing it for me. That's a higher level. This is what Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah said. There's an interesting statement. Excuse me. From the late Gaon Rav Moshe Feinstein, in this vein, you see, because one might think, look, what's the difference? I'm not talking about much difference. A few points off. You're doing it for one reason, I'm doing it for another reason. Now, one reason is Teres Hashem, Mitzvah Hashem, the other is Kfira. That is blasphemy. Because a person has to program himself to think in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to think. And this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a Jew to think. Like Reb Eliezer ben Azariah says, Perish min ha'aveira u'mekabel alav ol malchus shamayim. I want you not to do averas because I want you to do what I am commanding you to do. So the whole motive has to be, what is Hashem commanding you? And that we only know through His Torah. And this is why I must do it. But once we bring in other reasons, other motives, other thoughts, you should know that's kfira. That's kfira. We are denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah. Because we start to interject other cultures, other aliens, into what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding. And this, so it's not just a few points off, you see, the two approaches. And this is very dangerous when we are influenced by other cultures. And this is always when we live in a non-Jewish world, like the world today. The days of the Mashiach will be different. Then the prevalent culture in the world will be Torah. But when the prevalent culture in the world is either Christianity or Islam or whatever, or atheism, or communism, or socialism, or westernism, whatever. So we are constantly bombarded. We should realize we are constantly bombarded with alien cultures. And many times we subject our understanding of the Torah to the alien cultures. This is very, very dangerous. There were many G'daylim. Now, when they came to America from Lithuania, and included in them was my Rebbe, my Rosh Yeshiva, the Rebbe Mordechai Gifter, where they said that we are seeing the Christianization of Torah in the Western world. The values become distorted. In other words, are we speaking about Torah values? Are we speaking about Western values? Are we speaking about European values? Are we speaking about Polish values? Are we speaking about Hungarian values? Are we speaking about Israeli values? We don't know. The only way we can know is to labor and labor in Torah to try to find out what is the Torah value. But the other we can't take for granted. Therefore, we must be very careful not to deviate. Now, in this vein, the Meisher Feinstein writes something. It's in Eben Ezer Chelik Bey Simon Yud Aleph. The Meisher had come out. This was written a number of years ago. It's written almost 40 years ago. Actually, over 40 years ago. Ramesha had come out when it first came to the fore, these questions of fertilization for birth, and came the question of artificial insemination and so forth. And this question was brought to a number of the great Gaonim of the time. Ramesha came out with a tshuva in which, under the certain controlled situations, and if the circumstances were right, well, he permitted such methods. From a faction of Klal Yisrael in American Israel that was made up mostly, not from the Lithuanian Jews, but made up of mostly of Hungarian Jews, certain Polish and Hungarian Jews, created a storm against him. And it became a whole row. And they charged him by saying that he will be destroying the sanctity of the Yichus and the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. And he cannot permit such a thing. He said, Klal Yisrael, it's Yichus, it's Kedusha, it's sanctity, and it's been guarded for generations and generations. And here you're going to permit this and so forth and so on. It's an enormous row. So this, there was a Rav here which wrote him a long correspondence on this. And in the correspondence, the Rav rebukes Ramesha very severely for coming up with such a thing. And he brings all of these reasons. Meanwhile, the Ramesha had brought countless proofs from the Shas, from the Talmud, to show that it would be permitted. And he rebukes him terribly. So Ramesha answers. He says, look, this that you rebuke me, he says, Yeshekeach Adonabba. He says, if you think I'm doing something wrong, I want to hear. That's fine. But he says, this that you write, that what I'm writing is not correct. So he writes as follows. He says, no, this I cannot accept. He says, shum Yisrael. He says, whatever I have written, and again he enters into a long correspondence, whatever I have written or I am writing, there is nothing that will cause any any profanity in the purity or the sanctity of Yisrael. But what I'm writing is Torah's emes. I'm writing you the viewpoint of the Torah. Whether you want to agree with it or not, whether you want to like it or not, says that's your asik. My asik is, my job is to write the viewpoint of the Torah. I'm writing you the viewpoint of the Torah in accordance to Midivere Rabbeinu Rishayim, in accordance to the wisdom of our early sages. He says you should know that your problem, and with those who are with you that are challenging this, he says it's not coming from a Torah viewpoint, but that's coming from alien cultures that you are influenced by. Deus Chitzenius. Shemibli Mesim Mashpim Afal Gedelim Bechochma Lohavin Mitzvah Hashem Ishbora B'teira Kedusha B'teira HaKedesha Lefi Eisen Adeas HaNiksoves. That without them realizing it, because you are living under such circumstances, even those who are wise in Torah, it can come to influence them from not understanding the Torah properly, but rather understanding the Torah in accordance to the alien influences that they subject into the Torah. And this causes them to turn over that what is forbidden to become permissible, and that what is permissible to become forbidden. And you might not realize it, he's telling you, but you're a Megalaponim B'Torah Shalei Kahalocha. The Megalaponim B'Torah Shalei Kahalocha, that the Chazal say is from the most terrible Avera that a sage can do. That's a sage that he renders a decision which is not in accordance to the Torah. To render a Torah decision which is not in accordance to the Torah. And he says, that's what you're doing. You don't realize it, but that's what you're doing. Yeah. He says, "Shiyesh bezeh kepeda gedola apidvonim shula achmer." And don't think that if you're being more lenient than the law, then that's a terrible thing. To render a decision to say someone asks you if this is kosher or not, and you tell them it's kosher and it's not and it's treif, that's gefelach. Don't think it's only that, he says. But even if you render a decision which is more severe than the law, and you say this is the law of the Torah, you should know this is kfira. This is distorting and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. How do we know this? He says, you see from the tzedukim. The tzedukim were machmirin, and also kama tokonos lahitzimi libon. The tzedukim was actually this guy in the Gemara was a tzeduki that criticized Rava. The tzedukim was a sect which refused to accept our sages' interpretation in the Torah, and they went off on their own. And the Gemara brings that in many, many cases, they were more fanatic when it came to mitzvahs than Jews themselves. One case, for example, the Gemara brings is because it states that when you cut the omer, you cut the first crop of the barley, it states, Mimochores HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos. Our sages darshan that, and this is what they had from the tradition of Torah. It doesn't mean Shabbos. It means the day after the Pesach, the first day of Pesach, after the Yom Tov. So therefore, on the second day of Pesach, they would go out and cut the barley. The Tzedukim, no. They said, it said, Mochores HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos. If the day after Pesach is Shabbos, you're not allowed to cut it on Shabbos. Because it was a malocha. So they said, no, they would wait another day. So the Bez Din HaGodl, the great court, made a takona. They made an ordinance that when the day after Pesach falls on Shabbos and we go to cut the Omer, the judges have to go out there and they have to ask the man that's cutting, what is today? He has to answer Shabbos. Again, what is today? He has to answer Shabbos. What is today? Shabbos. Cut? Yes. Cut, yes. Moses says, why so many times? The Haitziah Milibon Shel Tzedukim. So everyone should know that the Torah of the Tzedukim is false. Nobody should later on say, nah, really, you're not allowed to cut it on Shabbos. But they made a mistake. They didn't know it was Shabbos. Now there, the tzedukim will be more machmer. Tzedukim were coming to do more than the halacha required. So this is what he's writing him. He says that Vani, he says, and myself, Baruch Hashem, he says, Eini le'mehem ve'le'mehem ve'le'mehem. He says, don't count me in with any of you or your associates. Kol hashk, or the tzedukim, kol hashkafosi hurat mi'ediyas ha'torah. He says, my entire outlook, my whole life, has only been to look through the eyes of the Torah. My whole labor is to understand what is the Torah saying. What is Moshe saying? What are the Nevi'im saying? What is the rabbis of the Mishnah, of the Gemara, the Rishonim? B'lishum ta'aruvus mi'ediyas chitzonius. And I'm not interested in any opinions, no matter how they look to you or how they don't look, that doesn't come from the Torah. She'mishpateha emes bein shula hachmer bein shula hokel. The laws of the Torah are true, whether they are stringent or whether they are lenient. What the Torah says, that's the law. Shemishpoteha emes, bein lachme bein shohokal, bein atami ma'ashkofes ha'chitzenis, b'sforis b'duis me'lev klum. And he says, and everything that you bring from outside, you want to build, well, this is not so tohar, and this is not so kodesh, and this is not, he says, if it's not based on hardcore Torah, he says, it's not worthless. Afla hachmer, even to be more stringent. Uledimyon, and to your imagination that you think it's yoseh tarve kedusha. It'll be more kodesh, it'll be more holy. Now he says, v'ata nedaber me'etzem ha'alocha lemo'aratei raktosha. Now we'll go into the question again, what you rose, and see what the Torah says on it. So in other words, he's saying very simple, we're not interested in all of that. If we were, then you got to go to Islam. You go to the Islams are very frum, Islams. Very, very frum. You go to the fundamentalists. Oh boy. Achas dosai. Yeah? You don't do what's said, it's off at the head. Literally. See? You want to be the Christians, you go to the Christians. It says, in Yiddish, felt me shagoyim in the welt. There's a lack of it. The whole world is full of it. We're trying to find the Or HaTorah. There's one little light. And that's the Torah. So that's what he's saying, keep everything out of it. We must weigh carefully everything we do and everything we say, and it has to be in the light of the Torah. So this that we're saying is not simple. This is the beginning of kfira, of the deviation from Teres Hashem. Now, what does all of this have to do with Purim? There's a great distinction between the receiving of the Torah on Sinai, which Klal Yisrael said, we have total trust in you. You give us whatever you want, we accept it. And we will labor to understand it to the best of our ability. And the receiving of the Torah, the reconfirmation of the Torah on Purim, which we said, kimu v'kiblu, kimu mashikiblu kfar. There's a great distinction. You should know that on Shavuos, the sixth of Sivan, when Klal Yisrael received the Torah, there was an enormous light in the world. The Torah tells us in Parshas Yisrael, it starts in Yutes, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Vayhi bayom ha'shlishi. It was on the third day, b'yeis ha'boker in the morning, vayhi kolos uvrokim. Great thunders and great noises. V'onon kovid alohor. A great cloud came on the mountain. V'kol shofer chazok mi'od. And the sound of the shofar was very, very strong. And the the whole camp trembled. And it states, "Mahashem Elokim Yorad Alahor." Kodesh Baruch Hu came down on the mountain. In Pasuk Tesvav, it states, "V'chol la'om reim esakolos." The whole nation saw all of this. They saw the thunderclaps, the lapidim, they saw the lightning, they saw the sound of the shofar, they saw the mountain smoking. They trembled and they moved back. And then, later it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Koshama b'nei Yisrael, Atem re'isem, you have seen, ki min ha-shomayim dibati imochem, I have spoken to you from the heavens. Rashi brings in another place that when they looked up in the sky, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had removed all the barriers where they could see right up to the seventh heaven. You have seen all this with your eyes. This was Har Sinai. So in Har Sinai, they were standing amidst enormous miracles. And they said, Na'aseh v'nishma, whatever you give us, we'll accept. Purim was not like that. Purim was just the contrary. In Parshas Vayelech, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Purim was a different story. There, it's before Moshe's dying, and Hashem says that later on after you die, as history goes on, the people are going to forget you. And they're going to forget me. And they're going to forsake me. And they will go after gods of others. And I will have to drive them out of their land. And they will go into Golus. V'chora api be'bayemahu. And I will become angry at them at that day. V'zavtim. And I will forsake them. And I will conceal my face from them. And they will find rose rabbis for tzoris, all types of tzoris and all types of problems. And it will be such a dark day for them, they will say, Ein alakai bikirbi. No longer is God with us. Mitzo'uni harosa eila. But we are being consumed by all of our troubles. Vanochi haster astir ponai bayemahu. And I will conceal my face from them on that day. I'll call the Roh Asher also because of all the evil which they have done. Kifono alehim acherim, because they have turned to other gods. The Gemara tells us this refers to the time of Esther. Haster, Aster, these are the letters of Esther. Now the time of Esther was from the darkest moments in history. Because the Gemara brings, it was, first of all, a golus b'sei golus. It was a double exile. We were exiled from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and then we were exiled from Bavel to Modai Uporas. We had two tyrants over us. Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed our Beis HaMikdosh and sent us out of Eretz Yisrael. And now Ahasuerus had destroyed, had taken over, and we became slaves, servants, subjects, and subjects to him. On top of that, we had another two tyrants over us. And that was Ahasuerus, and on top of that, Haman. Ahasuerus was the king of Modai Uporas, no lover of the Jews. He was willing to sell all the Jews into annihilation. And then we had Haman. And Haman was Agogi. He was a descendant of Agog, who was the king of Amalek, the greatest enemy of Klal Yisrael. Amalek was the first enemy of Klal Yisrael after we went out of Egypt. And this was the first and only time in history where all of the Jews of the world were prone to become totally annihilated, because Ahasuerus had ruled over the entire world, the Gemara tells us. And he accepted Haman's wishes, and a royal decree was made, Lahabed, Lahareg Lahabed, Lahashmid, Kol HaYehudim, to totally destroy every Jew. Narv, Ish V'Ishel, Narv V'Zokein, man, woman, and child, B'Yom Echad, in one day. This was the darkest moment in the history of Klal Yisrael. Now, it was just the opposite of the Har Sinai. But Har Sinai, there we saw the light. Not only did we see the light, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem Re'isem, you saw that I spoke to you from the heavens. You saw me. And it was only 7 weeks after the 10 plagues had taken place, the destruction of Egypt, the splitting of the sea. Right, we came to the great level of Nasa V'Nishma. But here we saw nothing. Total darkness. And still, all of Israel did not lose their bitochen on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we know that? Because when Mordechai came to Esther, and told him of the imminent danger, so Esther decided, this is what we'll do. Lech kneis kol ha-yehudim. It's kol ha-yehudim. Go and gather all of the Jews. Shushan. State kol, every one of them. V'tzum olai. Shleish yishomim. I'll take Lavel Tishtu, Megaman even Arese Yasake. Go gather all of the Jews and declare a fast day for 3 days. And you must be mispalal, daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And also I will do. They didn't lose their trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the darkness continued even after the Yeshua, after the salvation. Because the Gemara says, why don't we say Halal on Purim? Well, it says for that reason. It says, you say a Halal on a miracle that took place in Eretz Yisrael, because there we saw the miracle. But here we didn't see anything. There was nothing, nothing that looked miraculous. And it says, but even afterwards, Anan Arde Achashperish Anan, even after the great miracles, they were totally concealed. We were still servants and subjects to Achashperish. Wasn't the great light. And still we see Kimu V'Kiblu Kol HaYehudim, that all of the Jews accepted on themselves and on all of their seed to come afterwards, of Al-Kol and Ilvi Maleim, and all who joined Klal Yisrael, V'le'yavor, to always keep these 2 days that were commanded by the Sanhedrin, Esther and Mordechai, these 2 days of Purim. So here we came to a level of receiving the Torah amidst darkness, not amidst light. In other words, the level that we came to on Shavuos is good. But why not? You see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see Moshe Rabbeinu, you see all the miracles, why not? But the level to come to that on a Purim, that's something else. So this was the new level which came to Klal Yisrael. And this brought a great light. Yehudim Haisa Ora on Purim was a light, Zu Torah, a new light of Torah came down. It was a light, not that we could see with our eyes. It wasn't the Kolos Velapidim, the thunder and the lightning. It was a concealed light that the Jew sees with his soul, not with his eyes. But it's a light of Torah. And this came not mitech yidia, not from knowing, not from seeing and knowing, because there was nothing to see and there was nothing to know here. This was not the level of Yaakov Yosheva Olin, dwelling in the tents of Torah to get to know Hashem through the intelligence and the wisdom of Torah. But this was coming close to Hashem on something which was higher than Yediyas Odom, the intelligence of a person. And this was the blind faith. Tomim Tiyam Hashem Elokecho. This was the level which came to on Purim. And therefore, our sage said, there's times to celebrate, that the celebration should come through the person's wisdom, through his knowing, but there's also a time to celebrate when something is beyond the person's wisdom. And that was Purim. In other words, that the Jew innately knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him b'chol tzora v'tzora, in every tzora, even though he does not see him and he does not understand it. This was the celebration of Purim. And therefore, I said that the celebration of Purim should be a celebration which is beyond the human knowledge. Chayev Odom, Chayevin Shibsum Bapuriya. And therefore one should celebrate on Purim even to the point where he no longer understands with his wisdom, with his human wisdom, what is happening, but he understands without the wisdom what is happening. This was the Simchas Purim. And this was Layhudim Haisa Ora Vesosin Ora Vesosin Layhudim Haisa Ora Vesim Ora Vesimcha Vesosin Mikor. See, it's confusing because there's a posuk in the Novi that changes it around, where it says by called Sosan, called there, brings Sosan before Simcha, called Sosan, but called Simcha, and there brings Simcha before Sosan. Laihudim Haiso, Ora v'Simcha Sosan Bikor, Ora is U Torah, a new light of Torah came down to Klal Yisrael on Purim, and this is a light that comes into the soul of Klal Yisrael without the visual or the intelligent realization of it. But this is the veikus, the bond between Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though when we cannot see it. This was the Simchas Purim, and therefore Achazal commanded us how to fulfill it. This gives us an idea of what this particular Moed is. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.